As many of you know, in 1971, I was led to Christ by a street preacher named Bob Eckhart in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. But I really attribute my salvation not so much to that street preacher, but rather to a dear African-American lady who served as my housekeeper for the first 17 and a half years of my life. Her name was Cora Lee Goodman. And Cora Lee Goodman was the only woman that I know, the only person that I know who actually prayed for me before I came to faith in Jesus Christ. She faithfully prayed for me for 21 years. And I believe that I'm a follower of Christ today because of the prayer life of this dear lady. Well, 4 years after I came to Christ, that is in 1975, Cora Lee Goodman was here in Washington in the hospital dying of cancer. And I went to visit her, and as part of the visit, I remember saying to her, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing you again in heaven. And she said to me, well, I certainly hope so. And I went, well, what do you mean by that? And she said, well, I certainly hope that when I die, I'm really going to go to heaven. Friends, I was shocked. I was flabbergasted. Here's the woman who single-handedly prayed me into the kingdom of God, lying there on her deathbed and not being 100% sure that when she died, she was going to heaven. And so I had the wonderful privilege of taking out the Bible and sitting there in her hospital room, sharing with her that as a follower of Jesus Christ, her place in heaven, her eternal life, was eternally secure and always had been. Now, you know, I think there are a lot of people here in America who are just like Cora Lee Goodman. They've really trusted Jesus Christ in a real and personal way as their Savior, but they're missing the joy that comes from knowing that their place in heaven is eternally secure. In other words, that there's nothing they can do to forfeit their eternal life. And this is what I want to talk to you about today. Remember, we're in a series entitled Jesus's Most Outrageous Sayings. We've gone through the gospel accounts in the New Testament, and we've picked out 12 of the most radical things Jesus ever said, and we're spending 1 week on each one of them trying to answer the question, well, so what? Today we're ready for number 6, and I want you to take a Bible if you brought it and open with me to John chapter 10 in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 10. And while you're turning, let me give you a little bit of background. Here in John chapter 10, Jesus is explaining his relationship to us as believers by using the imagery of a shepherd and his relationship to his sheep. And that's where we start, verse 11. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus said, just like a good human shepherd is willing to sacrifice his life for the physical welfare of his sheep, so I, as the ultimate good shepherd, I am willing to sacrifice my life for the spiritual welfare of my sheep. Verse 17, he goes on and says, I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. Verse 18, I have the authority to lay my life down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This authority I have received from my Father. What Jesus is talking about here is the cross, where he is going to lay his life down, and the resurrection, whereby the authority of the Father, he is going to take his life back up again. Now, a little bit later in this discussion, the Jewish religious leaders come to him, verse 24, and they say, well, okay then, tell us once and for all plainly, are you the Messiah? And Jesus answered, verse 25, I did tell you plainly, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. Jesus then goes on to say one of the most radical things that anybody has ever said. Look what he says, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Watch, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Look what Jesus says here. Jesus says eternal life is a gift that I give to every single person that believes in me. I have the authority to give eternal life away as a gift. And Jesus says, once I give eternal life away, never, ever do I take it back. And besides that, Jesus says, you don't do anything to earn eternal life. It's a gift. So you can't do anything to lose eternal life. The only way you can lose it is if I take it back. And I'm telling you here, I will never take it back. I never do that. This is why Jesus is able to say, I give my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. The key word there is the word never. Think about it for a moment now. If there were anything you and I could do as followers of Christ to forfeit our eternal life, no matter how crazy, no matter how way out, no matter how off the wall, anything we could do, Jesus could not have used the word never in this verse. He could have said, I give my sheep eternal life and they will almost never perish. I give my sheep eternal life and they will in most cases never perish. I give my sheep eternal life and they'll only perish if they do something wild and crazy and stupid. But Jesus didn't say that. What did he say? Jesus said, I give my sheep eternal life and they shall never perish. Period. And what Jesus is doing here is making it crystal clear that as followers of Christ, there is absolutely nothing you and I can ever do, no matter how radical, no matter how extreme, no matter how offensive to God, nothing we can ever do that will cost us our eternal life, that will cost us our place in heaven. And you say, well, Lon, I understand that. I do. That there's nothing I can do to lose my eternal life. But what about the devil or some other supernatural being coming along and taking it away from me, snatching it away from me? Well, Jesus covers that too, friends. Look at verse 28. He says, no one can snatch my sheep out of my hand. My Father, who gave my sheep to me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch my sheep out of his hand. Friends, Jesus Christ says, as followers of Christ, we will never perish. And you know what? You can take that to the bank. Now you say, well, Lon, wait a minute, though. Wait a minute. I understand what you're saying. But you know, you're pulling an awful lot out of one word, never. I mean, you're taking this one word, son, and you're making it walk on all fours. I mean, really, does the rest of the Bible teach the very same thing that you're telling us here? Does the rest of the Bible really teach eternal security? Well, it does. And I want to show you about that right now. But before we look at the rest of the Bible, let's talk first about the word eternal security. Let's define exactly what we're talking about. Remember, the term eternal security, those two words together, never appear in the Bible, but they do describe a truth that does appear in the Bible. Namely, that when you and I embrace Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, when we trust His blood shed on the cross to be our payment for sin, to be our covering for wrongdoing, when we do that, the Bible says that God immediately grants us salvation, eternal life, a guaranteed spot in heaven, and that our salvation, our eternal life, is eternally secure, regardless of what we may do or what we may not do after that point. In other words, the Bible teaches that our eternal life and our place in heaven is based not on our human performance, which changes day by day and moment by moment, but rather it is based on what Jesus did for us on the cross, which never changes. Now, let's look and see if the rest of the Bible supports this. John chapter 5, verse 24. Jesus said, whoever hears my word and believes in me has eternal life, and that person will not be condemned, watch, for he or she has crossed over from death to eternal life. Now, the key to understanding this verse is understanding the verb has crossed over. The word literally means to move one's place of residency, to change your address, to move. And so what the Bible is telling us is that when we believed in Jesus Christ, we moved. We changed our address from an address in God's sight of eternal death to an address in God's sight of eternal life. But there's more. The tense of this verb is perfect tense in Greek. This is an unusual tense. It's used very seldom in the New Testament. And it has a very specific meaning. The perfect tense in Greek is used to apply to a completed action that has a result that runs on into eternity, that is unchanging, that is irrevocable, and that is irreversible. We could diagram the perfect tense by drawing a big circle representing the completed action, and then a line that goes into infinity representing the ongoing, unchanging, irreversible results. What is this completed action that this dot represents? It's Jesus giving you eternal life. Jesus giving me a place in heaven, and the line runs on into eternity, unchanging, irrevocable, meaning it can never go back the other way. So now that you say, stop. Enough with the grammar. We're out of high school. Enough. Get to the point. All right, I will. I'm going to go back now and translate John 5:24. And now that you know about the Greek perfect tense and you got a little bit of background, you can follow. I'm going to give you the RSV translation. That is the Revised Solomonic Version. All right? So here we go. John 5:24. Here's how it reads. The person who believes in me has eternal life, Jesus said, and will never be condemned. For that person, watch now, perfect tense, has crossed over, is crossed over, and always will be crossed over from eternal death into eternal life. Friends, when we embrace Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, God irreversibly transfers us from a state of eternal death to a state of eternal life, and there is no going back, ever, period, end of story. Which is why Jesus said in John 10, I give my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never. Now, if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ in a real and personal way, this is very important information for you to know. Because it means God is making you an offer such as no one has ever made you before in the history of this universe or in the history of your life. God is offering to move your place of residence from a place of eternal death in His sight, which is a really bad place to be, to a place of eternal life in His sight, which is a really good place to be. And all you got to do to get this irreversible, irrevocable, unchanging, permanent transfer is give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. This is the best deal ever offered the human race, friends. And all you got to do to get it is surrender your heart to Christ. If you haven't done that, my question to you is, what in the world is holding you up? Why in the world wouldn't you take advantage of a deal like this? Well, I hope you will. You say, well, Lon, but wait a minute, though. I've run into people all the time who say, I'm sorry, I just don't think anybody can know for sure that they've got eternal life and they're going to heaven. I just don't think anybody can say that. That just seems like the height of arrogance to me for somebody to make that statement. Well, friends, I'm sorry. That's not what God says in the Bible. As a matter of fact, God says in the Bible, it is normal for us as followers of Christ to know we're going to heaven. It is expected that as followers of Christ that we know we're going to heaven. Look at 1 John 5:13. I am writing you, John says, who believe in Jesus Christ, that you may, what's the next word? That you may know that you have eternal life. God wants us to know we have eternal life. God wants us to be certain, definite, confident, convinced, and utterly sure about the fact that our eternal life is secure in Jesus Christ. Now, that's as far as we're going to go in the passage right now, because it's time for us to ask our most important question. And you've had a couple weeks off. I know you're a little rusty. But we're going to grease it up and get back in here. Everybody ready? You ready? You ready? All right, here we go now. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
So what?
Oh, yes. You say, Lon, so what? Say, it's all nice what you said and the dot and the line. I think I got the dot and the line thing. But what difference does any of this make to my life? Uh-huh. Well, I'm going to try to answer that question for you. Friends, before you leave here today, I want you to understand something. I want you to understand that your salvation in Jesus Christ, your eternal life, your place in heaven is not based upon some feeling you have. It's not based upon some experience you have. It's not based on some exalted consciousness that you evolved to. Oh, no. I want you to understand that our salvation in Jesus Christ is based on a legal covenant. A legal contract, if you will, a legal agreement that God makes with every single follower of Christ the day they give their life to Christ. In other words, I want you to understand that the foundation of our eternal security is based on the legal covenant that God makes with every single follower of Christ. That's why God says, Hebrews 10:16, and this is the legal covenant that I will make with you as a follower of Christ. Now, what are the terms of this covenant? Well, there are a lot of them spelled out in the Bible. As we just saw in John 5:24, one of the terms is that this is an irreversible covenant. This is an irrevocable covenant. This is a permanent covenant that you can't do a thing to nullify, even if you tried to nullify it. But there's a lot of other terms that the Bible tells us about to this covenant too. Let me tell you what some of them are. One of the terms of this covenant, according to Hebrews 10:17, is that our sins and our lawless deeds, God will remember no more. Another term is found in Philippians 4:3, where we find that our names are inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. Another term of this legal agreement is found in Micah 7:9 in the Old Testament, where God says that He will bury our sins in the depths of the sea, and then He puts a little buoy up on top of them that says no fishing. You understand? Another term of this covenant, Romans 8:1. There is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ. Another provision of this covenant, Galatians 4:6. We now become God's special adopted children in Jesus Christ. Another provision of this covenant, 1 Corinthians 6:19. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit Himself. Another term of this covenant, Romans 8:33. We are granted permanent immunity from prosecution for our sins in God's courtroom. Another term of this covenant, Romans 8:38. Nothing can ever separate us now from God's unconditional love in Jesus Christ. And finally, and this is not the last term, but it's the last one I'm going to give you, Ephesians 1:13, God brands us, every one of us who He makes this covenant with, He brands us with His personal seal of ownership. Listen to Ephesians 1:13. It says, having believed in Jesus Christ, you were marked. Literally, you were branded with a seal. And what is that seal? It's the promised Holy Spirit. You know, I don't know about you guys, but I love old Westerns. I love John Wayne. I love Clint Eastwood. I love Jimmy Stewart. You understand what I'm saying? And one of my favorite programs on television years ago was Rawhide. Now, some of you guys are too young to remember the program, but you'll remember the theme song because the Blues Brothers sang it. Rollin', 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 keep them doggies rollin', Rawhide. You remember it? Head 'em up, move 'em out, head 'em up, move 'em out, Rawhide. Remember the song? Yeah, all right. Well, you know, in these old Westerns, when somebody owned an animal and they wanted to show the whole world that that animal belonged to them, what did they do to that animal? Well, they branded it. That's exactly right. And therefore, everybody knew when you looked at that animal belonged to that owner. Well, the Bible says God does the very same thing to us. Now, thank God He doesn't use a hot poker to brand us. He uses the indwelling Holy Spirit so that every being in the universe, every angel, every demon, every creature alive looks at us and says, oh, okay, that's God's property right there. These are all part of the terms, all part of the provisions of this contract that God made with you the day you gave your life to Jesus Christ. And your salvation, your eternal security, your place in heaven is not based upon some feeling you have, as I said earlier. It's not based on some experience you have. It is based on the fact that you have a legal covenant with God. You have a contract with God, and friends, God keeps His contracts. Just think about it now. Think about what would have to happen for you to lose your salvation. Let's go through it. For you to lose your eternal life or your place in heaven, number one, someone would have to cast the indwelling Holy Spirit out of you. Number two, for you to lose your eternal life, someone would have to eradicate God's brand from your hide. Number three, for you to lose your place in heaven, someone would have to cancel your adoption papers as a child of God. For you to lose your salvation, number four, someone would have to talk God into remembering your sins and your lawless deeds once more when He said He's never going to do that. Number five, for you to lose your eternal life. Someone would have to sneak up into heaven and erase your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life when God wasn't watching. Number six, for you to lose your eternal life, someone would have to talk God into rewriting Romans 8:1 so that it now reads, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ, except under the following circumstances." Number seven, for you to lose your eternal life, somebody would have to scuba dive down to the depths of the sea and dredge your sins back up again. Number eight, for you to lose your eternal life, someone would have to turn you from a sheep to a goat in the sight of Almighty God. Number nine, for you to lose your eternal life, someone would have to snatch you out of the hand of Jesus himself. And number 10, and most important, for you to lose your place in heaven, my friend, someone would have to make a liar out of Almighty God, because he made a covenant with you that he wouldn't do any of these nine things, all of which he would have to do if you were to lose your eternal life. The point is, when you and I genuinely believed in Jesus Christ, God consummated a covenant, an agreement, a contract with us that is irreversible, irrevocable, a contract that guarantees us eternal life, that guarantees us heaven without equivocation, and there is not one thing in the world you and I can do to mess it up. And that's good, because if there was anything you could do to mess it up, you would. So would I. I need a way to get to heaven I can't mess up. So do you. And you know what? The beautiful thing is, God gave us one. How cool is that? Now you say, "Well, Lon, okay. But I still have some other questions, you know. Like, for example, what about a person who claims they believe in Jesus Christ, but they go out there and live like the devil? Are they going to heaven? Or what about a person who believed in Jesus years ago and then they renounced Jesus and went their own way? Are they eternally secure? Are they going to heaven? And Lon, what about me? I mean, sometimes I think I believe in Jesus, but I'm not sure sometimes I feel like I've got eternal life. What's wrong with me? And Lon, if I'm eternally secure and I'm going to heaven regardless of my performance, then does that mean I can go out and live any way I feel like living? I can lie, I can cheat, I can steal, I can sleep around, I can do whatever I want to do, and that's okay with God?" Well, folks, those are great questions. And I'm not going to answer them for you today because I don't have time, but I got a solution for you. You go right over in our bookstore and pick up the CD that I did as part of Spiritual Boot Camp entitled "Some Eternal Security Questions," and I'll answer all four of those questions and some other ones as well right on that CD for you. You go over if you have these questions and pick that CD up, and we'll take care of that. You know, I was up Friday. My youngest son, Jonathan, plays college baseball. He plays for Johns Hopkins up in Baltimore, and I went up Friday to see a game. And after the game, we went out and had dinner together, John and myself. And we were sitting there talking at dinner, and he was telling me about another player on the team, a junior. John's a freshman, but this guy's a junior, who worked 2 years to earn his starting spot. And at the beginning of the season, he had a starting spot, but he hadn't been hitting so well, and he hadn't been fielding so well. And so he lost his starting spot. He's back on the bench again. And I was saying, you know, that's sad. I mean, I feel bad for the kid, you know. We were kind of commiserating for the kid. And I said, maybe the coach should have given him more of a chance. You know, maybe the coach should have been more patient with him. And my son turned to me and said, "Dad," he said, "there is no security in baseball." He said, "It's all about the numbers, Dad. It's all about your performance. There's no security here." And, you know, I got to thinking about that on the way home, and I thought, that's just not true of sports. That's true of life, huh? I mean, if you're in the military, you get a couple bad fitness reports, and you watch what happens to your career. I mean, if you're in business, you post a couple of bad quarters with profit numbers, and you watch what happens to your job. If you're in school, you get some really bad grades your junior year, and you can kiss that college you wanted to go to goodbye. I'm trying to help you, parents. You know, I'm on your side here. Amen. Just mail the checks to my P.O. box, parents. I'm helping you. I'm trying to. Hey, in relationships, you say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing to somebody, and you can lose a friend in a heartbeat, lose a neighbor in a heartbeat. Wouldn't it be great if we lived in a world where there were some things that were secure, where there were some things that were unchanging, where there were some things we could count on regardless of our human performance? Well, friends, that's the great news of the Bible. The great news of the Bible is that Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, provided you and me with something that doesn't change based on our performance. It is secure. It is unchanging. It is something we can count on, even when our performance goes up and down and all around. And that is the covenant, the contract, the relationship we've got with Almighty God, which includes our eternal life. Friends, it's a wonderful thing to know that there's nothing you did to earn your eternal life. And as a result, there's not a thing you and I can do to lose our eternal life. It is eternally secure. Now, I'm here to challenge you. Believe what God tells you in the Bible and enjoy it. Enjoy the fact that you've got that kind of a relationship with God. Enjoy the fact that you can have a really, really bad day and it doesn't change one thing about that contract you and God have. Man, I don't know about you, but my whole life changed the day I decided I was going to believe what God told me. Because it brings real joy to your life. It brings security to your life. And so in closing, let me say, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you leave here today and you're driving home on the Beltway and some idiot runs into you and kills you, don't worry about it. Because the very last breath you breathe here on earth, the very next breath you take is going to be on the shore of heaven. And even if you were speeding, you're still going to heaven. Don't worry about it. Doesn't depend on your performance. If you walk out of here today and you go get lunch and you choke to death on your shrimp cocktail, don't worry about it. Because the last breath you breathe here through that piece of shrimp caught in your throat, the very next breath you breathe is going to be on the shores of heaven. Hey, if you're a baseball fan and this year the Cubs win the World Series and you have a heart attack, don't worry about it. Because the last breath you breathe here, you're going to breathe the next one in heaven. And ladies, if one day you come home and your husband says to you, I just want you to know how much I love you. I just want you to know how much I appreciate you. I just want you to know how much you complete me. And what I want you to do right now is sit here on the couch and I'm going to sit here and hold your hand. And I want you to tell me everything you did today and you have a stroke. Don't worry about it. You're going to heaven. Because the very last breath you breathe down here on earth, the very next one you take is going to be on the shores of heaven. And friends, there's not one single thing you can do to mess that up because it doesn't depend on your performance. Thank God. It depends on the covenant God made with you the day you gave your life to Christ. And friends, God keeps his covenants. That's what 2 Timothy chapter 2 says. It says, even when we are faithless, and sometimes that happens, God remains faithful to his contract. He cannot deny who he is. What a wonderful thing to know. Friends, my advice to you is believe what God tells you and enjoy the relationship he's given you with the Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord, thanks for reminding us today that we have a covenant, we have a contract, we have a legal agreement with the God of the universe that is irrevocable, irreversible, and permanent. Part of that covenant is our place in heaven. And Lord Jesus, it is such a wonderful thing to know that as insecure as things are in our world when it comes to sports, careers, friends, school, that there's one thing that is eternally secure, and that is our place in heaven and our relationship with you. Lord Jesus, help us to believe that. Lord, help us to revel in and to dwell in the freedom that that brings our lives. And help us use that freedom, not for license, but help us use that freedom to serve the living Christ with all of our heart and soul because we are so appreciative for what he's given us. Lord, change our lives because we were here today. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen.